Chicken breasts can be tough because they don't have as much fat and they don't have as much natural moisture, so they can dry out more quickly. It is a little bit harder to cook them well so that they're still juicy and flavorful. They're also a thicker part of the bird.
Welcome to Didn't I Just Feed You?
A podcast about feeding kids.
Hey, I'm Megan.
And I'm Stacy. Chicken breast is one of the most, I was going to say well-loved, but I'm going to maybe amend that to most used sources of protein in most kitchens across the United States. And I get it. I wrote a whole book on chicken, guys. It can be inexpensive. It can be easy to cook. But the funny thing is, and actually the reason why I wrote Winner, Winner, Chicken Dinner, because it took some convincing on my part. I was not in the market to write a chicken cookbook, but a publisher approached me and asked me to do it. And I was like, no, that doesn't make sense for me. And then the more I thought about it, the more I was like, what does make sense for me is solving problems or trying to solve problems for family cooks. And I know because of the cost, because of the seemingly ease of cooking chicken breasts and chicken in general, people are buying chicken like crazy. Like, it far surpassed beef as the most popular protein in the US. But then at the same time, everyone's talking about how boring it is, how bland it is, how dry it is. So even though it's easy to cook, I do feel like people have a hard time cooking it well. So it just can be a little bit of a tricky thing. Oh, also, can we please talk about all of a sudden all the memes that are going around right now of kids going off on their moms mostly about eating chicken again for dinner? There's like
seen
all
a single
oh
one.
My gosh. I shared, well, I reposted one. So, okay. Nice to be paying attention to my personal account, Megan.
Sorry, Billis.
I'm kidding. But there's like, it started with a kid who's taking out the garbage and he's like, chicken. Chicken, it's healthy. Like, he's clearly mocking his mother. And he's like, I've had it. Like, enough with the chicken for dinner. And then, like, I guess because I've written a chicken cookbook, people keep sending me ones. There was like a viral letter that went around that was like, I hate my mom because my mom cooks chicken like every night or something along those lines. Which is very funny.
I feel like you might be in a chicken bubble is why you've...
I've fallen
well,
into
I've
a
seen
chicken corner
so many
of TikTok.
People are like, here is your content. Here is content for you.
I think it's just a funny thing.
Yes. And I think it's interesting that you're like, oh, is it well loved? Do people actually love it? Because I'll say for my household, we cook chicken breast more often because the rest of my family prefers it to chicken thighs and especially anything that's like bone on. So regardless of how I feel about it, I'm buying it because it's like my family's preference.
So maybe it's well loved by children the world over, but I find that home cooks feel a little bit frustrated, maybe because some of them, well, most of the home cooks we're talking to are older adults, perhaps more refined tastes, not always. I don't mean to diss the kids. And also I know lots of picky adults. But, you know, we understand that chicken thighs can be more flavorful, but that also you might get like a fatty piece.
Yeah.
Some kids are like, they get the fatty piece and dinner's done, over, game end.
So there's that. Chicken breast is just like,
it's just
homogenous.
Meat.
It's very
meat.
Reliably predictable in texture. And so then there's this opportunity to flavor it and make it delicious. So today we're talking about the best ways to cook chicken breast for dinner. This is actually a Didn't I Just Feed You listener's request. During our most recent office hours, Carolyn R. asked for some chicken breast dinner ideas. And I think Carolyn's like exactly in that place of that's what her family wants to eat and she is bored.
Yes.
So listen, before we get into it, y'all do not have to be a supporting community member like Carolyn is, who came to office hours to make episode requests. In fact, this month, all of the episodes are coming from listeners just like you in our community boards.
We recently upgraded our free community boards too. So we're still using the same platform. Nothing has changed as far as how you log in or sign up. It still only requires your email, which we never share with anyone. You just go to didn'tijustfeedyou.com/community and sign up. You'll see the options. Just look for the free one. Click the button, put in your email, and you'll be in our community boards. And they look fabulous.
It's so good, you guys. Also, we got a little crazy because we're excited about the new free community boards. And we made a big juicy coupon code for anyone interested in joining the supporting community too. Supporting membership includes 2 bonus episodes every month, an ad-free stream so you can enjoy every new episode without interruption, and those regular office hours with us. So the code is JUICY. I don't know why it's making me giggle. JUICY for 25% off of a year of membership at the monthly price or off an annual membership. It's honestly such a steal. So like Stacey mentioned, you can find all the info about our community free and supporting at didn'tijustfeedyou.com/community.
Right. And both get you onto those boards. Like, yes. That's the important part. Like, if all you want is the community aspect, those community boards, join for free. But if you want those bonus episodes, those other goodies that Megan mentioned, you join with this juicy code. And again, on that page we directed you to, didn'tijustfeedyou.com/community, it shows you like what you get with each option. So it's all very clear.
Limited time coupon code. It will expire on March 31st, 2024. Okay, Stacey, I have a fun question. I think the fun question is me. It's categories-ish. How many chicken breast recipes are in Winner Winner Chicken Dinner?
Oh my gosh, I don't know. I didn't break it down that way. I didn't break it down by cut. I broke it down by cooking technique. So the chapters are in an oven, in a pan, in a pot, on a grill, and then creating and using leftovers. So I'd talk about poaching it in a pot, but anyway, you get the point. Leftover chicken pot pie is in that last category. Yeah. So in each of these cooking techniques, I give recipes for the different cuts, for thighs, for whole, spatchcock, bone-in, boneless chicken breast. And here's the thing about boneless, skinless chicken breast, which is what most people are most excited about, is that oftentimes it can be substituted in for other things. You know, so if there's an Instant Pot recipe you love that calls for boneless, skinless chicken thighs, you can, and we'll talk about how you might want to make some adjustments, you can use chicken breasts as well. It works. If there's a pan-seared bone in, skin on chicken thigh, you can also pan sear a bone in, skin on chicken breast. Again, you'll need to make some adjustments. The big difference is this, and this is why we like chicken thighs. Chicken thighs are dark meat and have more fat on them. That's probably why a lot of your picky eaters out there don't like it as much, because they're much more likely to get, it's not gristle like beef where it's like really like tough, but a fatty piece, especially if you're moving quick and you're not like trimming it ahead of time before you cook it. It's just, you know, it's not as homogeneous, like you said, Megan. But with that fat comes more flavor. With that dark meat comes more flavor. Chicken breasts can be tough because they don't have as much fat and they don't have as much natural moisture. Natural, have a little asterisk there. So they can dry out more quickly. It is a little bit harder to cook them well so that they're still juicy and flavorful. They're also a thicker part of the bird, the breast, especially, you know, you can see a boneless, skinless chicken breast tapers at the end. So that thick part, you know, without like a sauce or stewing it, you can put a spice rub on both sides of a chicken breast and you'll still get a piece where the spice rub just can't compensate for the thickness of the meat, and the meat itself doesn't have great flavor. Like, you put a spice rub on a good, beautiful steak that's thick and you just get a hint of that spice rub because it's real thick, that's okay, because that steak is full of so much flavor on its own in a way that chicken breast is not.
Yeah.
So
you're coming out swinging here, Billis, because you're getting around like what I think is the primary takeaway here, which is about how you prepare the chicken breast for cooking and you're seasoning it. And like you take nothing else away from it. It's like you want to get the chicken to be as uniform as possible for seasoning it and for cooking it. So either like butterflying it so it's thinner breast pieces so you're not so worried about a thick part that you have to cook for a long time while the thin part's drying out, or even just cutting it into pieces so you have more surface area for flavoring and for it to cook quickly without drying out.
Yeah. So I think it just depends on your seasoning, your cooking technique, and your sauce. Some ways that I will cook chicken breast without butterflying it is if I have a thick, creamy sauce. So there's a recipe in Winter Chicken Dinner for pan-seared chicken breasts with mushrooms in a sherry cream sauce. And that sherry cream sauce is like very delicious and full of flavor thanks to sherry, and also lots of fats and thick and heavy. So actually those thicker pieces of chicken do nicely to balance out this sauce. Whereas if you were to put a sauce like that on a chicken cutlet or a butterflied piece of chicken breast, they're one and the same, it'll overpower the chicken. I also use it for a lot of sheet pan meals because it's just easier. And I'm usually cooking other things that release juices. I have a Caprese chicken sheet pan dinner in the cookbook, and those tomatoes release a lot of the juices, and there's cheese on top, and there's just enough to help keep it full of moisture. The other thing is that I tend to be a little bit picky about the chicken I buy. And even though it's thick and it needs evening out, and like all of the things we've been talking about apply to my chicken, there is some chicken I see at the supermarkets where the breasts are just mega. And they're really hard, even with the right application where I would normally cook it as a chicken breast. These are so big and mega that I think it just gets real tricky. It's hard not to just always butterfly them. And then when you butterfly them, sometimes they're still almost nearly the thickness that another chicken breast might be. And a lot of that has to do, I'm going to do one little technicality here. One quick thing that you can look for on the package to help you find a chicken breast that isn't so inflatedly large is to look for air chilled. Air chilled means that once the bird was killed, it's chilled, it's brought down to temperature quickly in a very cold room, as opposed to being dunked into a cold solution that also has some chemicals in it to help like make sure that it doesn't become like a gross fest in that water, you know, with a lot of bacteria. The chemicals are not unhealthy for you, but the meat starts to absorb a lot of that liquid. And that's why some of those breasts are so big. It's not just the feed or the chickens. It's also
Those are factors.
They are factors for sure. But the water piece is a big factor, especially when it comes to cooking, because that water impacts flavor almost even more than the feed and the type of chicken, because even these organic chickens, a lot of them are mass produced at this point. But that water content will really, like, you're going to have a thick ass piece of chicken that also has absorbed all this water. So its natural flavor has been literally watered down. And then you're trying to cook it, you're going to get uneven cooking, and then it's just hard to make the flavor cover all of that meat.
Yeah. So air-chilled chicken is available widely. Like I it at Walmart, but it can be like a little bit more expensive. And so if you're a person for whom budget is a concern and you're generally buying like family packs, if you can even just do like a cursory look and choose smaller breasts, is going to give you an advantage here when it comes to like how you cook it in the
air chilled is becoming more and more the standard. Like you can find affordable brands. Aldi has air chilled. It's not like it used to be, and it's different than organic. Like you can get something that's been air chilled and is not like organic or cage free or all these other labels that will really start to inflate the price.
Mm-hmm. Stacey, I don't know about you, but I've been in a major spring cleaning mode, including purging and organizing my closet. I'm putting away winter sweaters and donating things that don't work for me anymore. But I'm so excited to be pulling out some of my favorite items from Quince to put back into rotation.
Totally. I love the pieces that I bought from Quince last year, too. And neither of us should really be surprised. We love Quince for their quality. And by partnering directly with top factories, Quince cuts the cost of the middleman and passes the savings on to us.
Which means I can actually add some pieces back to my closet after my spring clear out. I love the linen pants and top I got last season so much, but my next purchase is one of Quince's gorgeous 100% washable silk skirts.
Oh, that's so pretty. And the best part, all Quince items from silk to 14 karat gold are priced 50 to 80% less than similar brands. That's why I snagged my favorite oversized cashmere boyfriend cardigan from Quince instead of any other brand.
Indulge in affordable luxury. Go to quince.com/DIJFY for free shipping on your order and 365-day returns. That's quince.com/DIJFY, short for Didn't I Just Feed You, to get free shipping and 365-day returns. ButcherBox is our secret to better back pocket meals on the fly during busy seasons like spring. They make it easy to choose a box of our family's favorite proteins that get delivered straight to our door. With the freezer stocked with 100% grass-fed beef, free-range organic chicken, pork raised crate-free, and wild-caught seafood, there's no running to the store for last-minute dinner ingredients. Plus, with free ground beef for life, we know that when meetings or soccer practice run late, we always have a reliable family favorite on hand for a quick dinner with ButcherBox's high-quality meats and a few pantry staples. That's right. ButcherBox is giving our listeners free ground beef for the life of your membership, plus an additional $20 off your first order. Visit butcherbox.com/DIJFY and use code DIJFY to get free ground beef for life, plus $20 off your first box. That's butcherbox.com/DIJFY and code DIJFY, short for Didn't I Just Feed You? This episode of Didn't I Just Feed You is sponsored by By Heart. Longtime listeners know that Stacey and I both struggled with infant feeding stages with all our kids. Breastfeeding was hard, and choosing a formula was, well, also hard. We're thrilled to be working with By Heart, an infant nutrition company on a mission to make the best formula in the world. Not only is By Heart an easy-to-digest formula, their formula is also clinically proven for easier digestion, less spit-up, and softer poops versus leading infant formula. By Heart has their own patented protein blend that includes prebiotics and an 80-20 whey-to-casein ratio, just like in early breast milk, which is tailor-made for a newborn's digestive system. Curious about By Heart? Redeem your welcome offer at buyheart.com/podcast with code DIJFY for a limited time. That's buyheart.com/podcast and code DIJFY, short for Didn't I Just Feed You? Additional terms and conditions apply.
Once upon a time, the Greek myths helped us understand the world and our place within it. They still do.
Zeus, we have finished your weapons.
Thunderbolts, just as I saw in my vision.
Whoa, that almost hit me.
Need to improve my aim.
To not hit me, right?
Live from Mount Olympus spins these ancient tales for today's tweens and their grown-ups.
I, Zeus, king of the gods, command that you listen to Live from Mount Olympus wherever you get your podcasts.
How do you cook chicken breast? So I said sheep pan is common for me. Leaving the chicken breast full with it, depending on the kind of sauce. Also for sheep pan dinners. Also when I'm going to put them in the Instant Pot. That's another time. If I'm not using chicken thighs, you just want to make sure that you have enough cooking liquid. And not the kind of like thin cooking liquid that's going to just poach it and cook it, but that like will get absorbed and has a lot of flavor in it. So sometimes I'll even rub the chicken breast with seasoning first with like a dry rub and then put it in, like even for salsa chicken, which is like the main example we always refer back to. Like it's going to taste better if you rub the chicken with some herbs and spices, then put in the salsa. But salsa is like really watery. So I would say after it's cooked and released a lot of its juices and that salsa liquid is really thin, you want to shred the meat and toss it with some of that. But you might want to even add some salsa that wasn't in the Instant Pot that still has a little bit of thickness. It can really coat the meat to give it flavor. But if you take those steps, I do think that chicken breast can be good in the Instant Pot or slow cooker as well.
Yeah, it's so funny because I lean towards mentioning slow cooker for salsa chicken and you lean towards Instant Pot, which is just like our cooking personalities, maybe. List some logistic things. And you mentioned salsa chicken, which we've talked about before and how maybe you don't love the texture of it, but we also have a really great, and it's from Winner Winner Chicken Dinner, isn't it? The harissa chicken in the Instant Pot, which essentially makes you very flavorful shredded chicken that you can use in a ton of different ways. And it's maybe the exception to us saying like, oh, we're mostly pan searing, cooking it in a flavorful sauce or cubing it and sauteing it, because we're also both putting it in the Instant Pot or slow cooker for bulk cooking. What about chicken cutlets? Because that is a thing, like making a chicken schnitzel is a thing that my family loves and I do maybe like once a month. This relates to our frying episode in January where I was like, hey, this is a thing I'm frying, but maybe you don't fry yours. Are you breading and cooking a lot of chicken?
Yeah, my kids love breaded chicken. That's definitely something I would take the chicken breast and butterfly it for even cooking and also for flavor. Again, you're going to have so much flavor on the outside of the chicken so that if it's like really thick, you're going to lose your flavor. That's why that like thin piece of fried chicken cutlet is so much better than the piece from the thick part, right? Butterflying takes care of that. And then any kind of spice rubs, like when I'm in a pinch, I like doing a 5-spice rub. But really, like you can do like a Greek flavor profile. You could do like oregano, lemon zest, some salt, even some a little bit of orange zest, and just rub it around the cutlet and pan fry it and you're good to go. And I think with a cutlet, you don't need a pan sauce as much, although a pan sauce is delicious too. Salt and boca is another application. Like we love the recipe of just salt, pepper, a little bit of flour to create like a nice crust. It's not like a breaded outer coating, but it gives it like a nice crust and gives you a nice sear. And then sage leaf and a piece of prosciutto on top. That's beautiful. And you can just finish with a little bit of lemon, like a fresh squeeze of lemon at the end.
I think of piccata as another great like, cutlet because it's thin and it's a quick little sauce. It's not like very complicated. You're adding some capers. And again, there's lemon in there and it's really wonderful and easy. Great to serve alongside ravioli or pasta too to make a like very filling meal.
Delicious. Totally. And then you mentioned it, but we haven't talked about recipes where we're cubing it up and adding it to things. For me, it's all manner of curry. That's pretty much the only chicken stew I make with chicken breast that I can think of off the top of my head. And then also stir fries.
Yeah, stir fries are a big one at our house.
Yeah.
You know that I love teriyaki chicken. And so if I'm doing like a quick weeknight version of it and not doing like thighs and grilling them and really getting the flavors that I love, there is a honey garlic recipe that I love from Spoon Fork Bacon. I'll sometimes even toss the cubed chicken before cooking it in the oil with a little bit of cornstarch so it gets a little bit crispy. And then you can put any kind of sauce, like a sweet chili sauce on it. You could do like a sweet and sour sauce. It's not quite fried chicken like Panda Express sweet and sour, but it kind of gets that same idea across.
I'll do that sometimes with honey and sriracha.
Yes.
So simple good. And fast and easy and just serve over rice.
Yes. The other recipe that I make sometimes with cubed chicken breast is actually our chicken biscuit pot pie. In the recipe, we call for rotisserie chicken, but if I'm like having a craving for that and I've got chicken breast in the freezer that I can pull out, I'll cube it up and cook it like along with the onions and garlic before I build the gravy. And that's nice because then it has like the sauce to make that chicken breast like super flavorful and not feel dried out.
Yes, I love that. You're reminding me of something, but I'm going to just throw one stir fry in that we're like eating a ton lately. Sometimes my kids, because we order Chinese food a lot, they just love ordering. We have really good Chinese food in New York City. So I'll like want something different if I'm going to be making a stir fry at home. And there's a recipe in Winter Chicken Dinner. It's online, so I'll share the link for a basil chicken and vegetable stir fry that plays a little bit more into like Thai flavors.
Yeah.
And has like peppers and green beans and basil. So that's really nice too. You talking about chicken biscuit pot pie. Also, for some reason, thinking about the fact that like we normally call for rotisserie chicken makes me think of poaching chicken breasts.
I actually love poaching chicken breasts. I think it's like very underrated. People think it's fussy. But like if you want shredded chicken and you want it to be flavorful, but also super versatile, it is a awesome technique to learn.
I agree. And I do think ideally you would poach a bone-in chicken breast, but you can take a boneless, skinless chicken breast and you can poach it. And you're just like basically cooking it a little bit slowly in a cooking liquid that can be flavored. It can be water with some bay leaf and some vegetables. It can be like wine. It can be coconut milk.
Oh, yes. Coconut
with some milk. Lime. Like there's lots of ways that you can do it. And you're imbuing the chicken with flavor from the aromatics and the things, maybe vegetables that you're adding to your poaching liquid. And in some cases, like coconut milk or even just regular milk, you can poach chicken in regular milk. You're adding like fat and flavor as well.
Yes. Listen, this is a sign of like a weird aside, which is that you can cook milk chicken. Mm-hmm. Actually, you could do all manner of poached chicken in the microwave.
Yeah.
Yeah. Well, so it makes it like super easy if you just need shredded chicken really quickly. But it works especially well, I think, with coconut milk and regular milk.
Yeah. And like if nothing else, you can throw some like peppercorns, a carrot that's going soggy, that half onion that you didn't use all of, and a bay leaf, like in water, and poach the chicken. You know what I mean? It works and it's good and it makes like really juicy pulled chicken that you can then, you'll then want to flavor it. Like you're going to add it to something or dressing or sauce. But I think chicken breast can be great for that.
Both Stacy and I have shared our own candid experiences with mental health and helping our families deal with their own. We both know firsthand that if you have ADHD, it can be overwhelming to find the right treatment. That's why we're glad to partner with Dunn. In just 1 minute, Dunn's online assessment can help kickstart your ADHD treatment journey. With experienced clinicians, worry-free refills, and online visits, you can start getting personalized care as soon as tomorrow. Take a free 1 minute assessment and book an appointment with a licensed ADHD clinician as soon as the next day. Get continuous care, one-click refills, insurance coverage, and 24/7 care team support with Dunn for just $79 a month and pharmacy copays as low as $0. Unlock your path to better focus now at get.dunnfirst.com/podcast. Dunn, turn ADHD into your strength. We know you're seeing all the Mother's Day gift guides everywhere. And while we usually do some Didn't I Just Feed You version, this year we have the one perfect Mother's Day gift that works for everyone, even our last minute shoppers, MyLifeInABook.com.
MyLifeInABook.com is a unique service that turns the life stories of people you love into a beautiful book. Here's how it works. Every week, MyLifeInABook.com will send your gift recipient a question via email. These can be pre-written questions that they provide, or you can customize the questions the way that I did for my mom. Your recipient can either type her response or use their voice-to-text feature. MyLifeInABook.com compiles all of her responses into a beautiful keepsake book.
I'm really excited to be creating a book with my own mom this year, and I can't wait to hear some of her childhood memories, what it was really like raising three kids as a single mother, and how she's enjoyed becoming a grandmother too.
And when the book is done, you'll have a beautiful keepsake for her and for you too. You can even choose to have an audiobook created from the recordings. It's easy to sign up and the process is automated, so you don't have to worry about missing a week.
Check out mylifeinabook.com and use code DIJFY at checkout for 10% off. Create an unforgettable gift for your mom this Mother's Day. That's mylifeinabook.com. Use code DIJFY for 10% off today.
Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower than low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
Related. Cooking chicken breast, almost like braising it, or I guess you're kind of poaching it in a way, to make soups. So like we have a white chicken chili recipe, and you could easily, like, instead of cubing the chicken and throwing it later, you could do the whole breast and let that, like, let them slowly cook as you're building the soup base, and then pull those out and shred them and return them to the pot. And like you said, there, I know we're mostly talking about boneless, skinless chicken breast here. But there are some times where just even having it on the bone will contribute to having a more robust broth for your soup, or even making the braise a little bit better for a richer sauce. And it's like a little bone to remove.
Yeah. But I will say that I plug for Winner Winner Chicken Dinner. I do give directions for both boneless, skinless chicken breast and bone-in, skin-on chicken breast, because I really think that this is the kind of technique that can save weeknight dinner, or like save like an otherwise pretty bland pulled chicken situation. So I just wanted people to be able to do it both ways because it really does work. It gets the job done better than you think. It's not just like skirting by. Like, it can be good even with boneless, skinless chicken breast. And also, it can be a more affordable thing to do than buying a rotisserie chicken and like maybe not using up the whole thing. Maybe you're just going to pull the white meat from the breast. And then what do you do with the drumsticks? It's already cooked. And like, how do you reheat it? I don't know. It can just be more efficient too, and money saving. I also want to say that one of my favorite things to do that I included in the book as well is to make a quick chicken soup, like you're saying, using bone-in chicken breasts and using store-bought broth. It's like a way of enhancing the store-bought broth. And then I have a whole matrix for adding like orzo or vegetables or noodles so that you have like a very quick chicken soup that tastes like it's been cooked all day, like in a kettle, and it hasn't been. And like part of it is that the best way to do it is to use the skin on bone and chicken, because you brown it first in the pot and you render some of that fat and you draw out a little bit of that flavor. And then you add all of these other layers to it. And, you know, broth becomes, when you make chicken soup, you're just adding water, but you're using broth instead of water, but with a similar technique. And that just shortcuts your cooking time.
And it's super versatile, like you said, because you can add all kinds of pasta or grains or veggies and like switch up the flavor profile a ton and feel like you're just using the same technique, same basic principles, but getting a lot of dinner options out of it.
Yes.
We haven't talked about this yet, which is a shame, but what about chicken breast for chicken salad? I think chicken salad is kind of, and like making sandwiches or serving it as a salad is kind of like an overlooked dinner.
Okay, option. So are you saying like cubing it or like this pulled? Like I do it, but I do the poaching thing and then I pull the chicken.
I'm asking you because as a matter of course, I don't eat chicken salad.
Oh, yeah, that's right.
Because I don't love mayonnaise-based salads, but every once in a while, Brian will get a craving for it. And then I do. I like to either like microwave poach it or do a quick poach on the stovetop. Let that cool, cube it, and turn it into dinner.
I don't like chicken salad made with cubed chicken. It's, again, it's that thickness thing. Like, I don't want like
oh, a so you're
thick
shredding
piece of meat.
It.
I'm shredding
no matter
it.
How it's cooked.
Yes.
Okay.
See? I believe in shredding, and then you can do a quick chop too.
Yeah.
But I shred it for a better, what I believe is a better texture than cubes. I don't like mayo-y salad. Cubes.
I really
things.
Do not have skin in this game. So I'm just telling you. I make it for so Brian, who's never complained. So
great.
But also, maybe that's just him being smart.
Yes, that's true. That's true. He might have strong opinions. I'll have like an offline private conversation
you should.
With
you
him.
You guys can text about it.
But yeah, I am picky about chicken salad, which is weird because I think the thing about mayo salads for a lot of people is that it feels a little bit mysterious. Which can be a bad thing, right?
Yes, that's a primary thing for me.
Okay, it's mysterious. So I like tuna salad because I know how tuna comes out of a can. There's like a consistency based on the protein. Tuna comes out of the can the same way, like for everybody, no matter where you buy it. And then I know you're just adding vegetables and things that like if the onion is diced bigger than the it doesn't gross me out. It's like I need consistency with the protein itself, the animal protein. So the problem with chicken is people will use a lot of leftovers. And sometimes, like, if you have leftover, you're pulling leftover meat from a drumstick, you're going to get, like, a grizzly piece or a fatty piece. And when that's enveloped in mayo and in a sandwich and you get a surprise like that, it's off-putting.
Yeah, so you're saying you're making a hard stance. It's chicken breast.
Yeah.
Or
it's
not.
It's chicken breast that, yes, and like poaching it and pulling it so you get a consistency. And there are no surprises like that. Like, I think that's really important. Anyway, because of my sensitivity to chicken salad, one that I do not share with tuna salad, I did spend a lot of time trying to make a chicken salad recipe. And, you know, there are all kinds of famous chicken salad recipes. I knew that, but I learned that especially when I was writing the book. But mine's the best. That's all I have to say. I put a lot of time and thought into it. And I like tested it more than it like probably needed to be tested because of this issue of chicken salad can be weird.
Yeah.
Is and that like, it?
That's the mic
in a
drop.
Way.
That's the end of the episode.
I don't know. Is it?
The best chicken breast dinner is Stacey Billis's ultimate chicken salad from Winner Winner Chicken
it
Dinner.
It is. Can we just talk quickly about chicken breasts and casseroles too, though?
Sure.
So I'm not a big casserole cook, and there isn't a whole lot of casserole recipes in Winner Winner Chicken Dinner. But I do think that chicken breast is really great for that reason. Like being able to just like cube up a chicken breast. Again, you get nice uniform size. There's a consistency to it. You throw it in a casserole dish with a whole bunch of things and bake it. And it's great. Again, I'm a pulled chicken over cube chicken kind of girl. So I also like cooking the chicken ahead of time, like whether it's microwave poaching it or just poaching it on the stove and pulling it apart and throwing it into a casserole dish. But I understand that that's a lot more work and I'm not like a casserole cook. So maybe you can shed some light on this.
I don't know that I'm categorically a casserole person either, but I do think that one of the draws to casseroles is like, it's one and done. You're putting everything
dump.
Together.
You're trying to not say dump.
You put it in the oven. Everything cooks. It comes out. The tricky bit here is sort of what you're talking about, which is even if you cube it, the chicken breast, unless you're like mincing it super fine, you do run the risk that whatever is the starchy component of your dinner, of your casserole, will overcook in the time it takes the chicken breast to be cooked enough. We only really do cheesy chicken, broccoli, and rice. And it's like then I cut it into smaller pieces so the rice and the chicken sort of cook at the same pace.
And you adjust the amount of liquid because the chicken's going to give off some liquid. And like do things get watery?
No. I think a lot of the recipes that are written for that take that into consideration.
Okay.
Or you're doing like whole breasts or butterfied breasts on top. So it's getting the most evaporation it can get.
And last question. What about flavor? like, if you're just cubing up, I imagine you're salt and peppering at the minimum. And that's something we should actually be explicit about for people using chicken breasts to make casseroles. Season your chicken, people. Season. So you're seasoning your chicken breast raw. You're cutting it up into cubes or the other way around, whatever. And then you're adding it to a casserole dish with rice, with shredded cheese, with broccoli, and baking it. I can imagine that being delicious when I get a forkful of like cheesy rice and a little piece of broccoli and the chicken and it's all there. But if you were just to eat the chicken, like you were to pick out a piece of chicken from your casserole, is it a little bland? TBH.
It has the potential to be, yes. My solution is ranch seasoning, which should surprise no one. So like after cubing the chicken while it's still on the cutting board, I'll just dust it with some salt, pepper, and some ranch seasoning. It's not like, I mean, it's the thing, right? Like a cube of chicken is a cube of chicken. It's not going to like penetrate deeply while it's cooking in the casserole, but at least you're giving it some like individualized flavor. And I
also
like that
the
because
buttermilk powder.
Yeah.
The buttermilk powder is going to do, and it sticks to it even more than spices. The spices are going to like slide off more easily.
And then you're just getting a variety of flavor. It's kind of like we've talked about with sheet pan dinners before. Like if you're just seasoning everything the same, it all becomes one note, which can happen a lot with casseroles. So like taking some thought and individually seasoning the components does help to make it like a little bit more interesting.
Okay. Before we wrap out, I know we already mentioned a bunch of recipes. I think it's okay if we repeat. Do you want to just like quick fire your like current favorite chicken recipes?
Okay. I mentioned the honey garlic chicken.
Chicken breast recipes. Yeah.
Yes. We've also been doing like lemon, garlic, parmesan chicken breast skewers, which we didn't talk about, like skewering the meat. But my kids are into the novelty of that.
Okay.
I love your chicken salt and boca from Winner Chicken Dinner, which we also have in our recipe archive, which you can access for free by joining those community boards. And then I mentioned teriyaki chicken. We will do like a sheet pan chicken once a month maybe. And we have a sheet pan chicken that has like a maple mustard and winter veggie recipe that's still really good even now in March. And then like Chipotle chicken burrito bowls. I've been meal prepping those for myself. And that is sort of like you could use the poached chicken. Maybe you're adding some like taco seasoning, some lime juice, pulling it so it's shredded. Because I do like that with a burrito bowl. And then adding beans and avocado and all that stuff. What about you?
I think we've mentioned almost everything. So chicken piccata, chicken salt and boca, for sure. Like those are really popular in my house. I make this, I've been prepping it. I hadn't made it in a long time. It's from Winner Chicken Dinner and it's pineapple chicken salad. And I'm basically like slow cooking or instant pot cooking the chicken. And then it's got like green beans and toasted coconut and pineapple and all this other stuff. But I kind of go between that, like the harissa chicken, like some sort of meal prep chicken breast in the instant pot, pulling apart and then using in multiple ways, often for my own lunches, but sometimes then for like a big salad-y dinner as well. Another thing, I'm sorry, it is all from Winner Chicken Dinner because like,
There's nothing wrong with that. It's your book, right?
So I have in the marinade section, but it's technically a brine. It's like salt water, basically, but with lemon, oregano, and a little bit of olive oil. And I can soak chicken cutlets in there for like 10 minutes because it's so, it has so much lemon juice. That acid, if you let chicken breast sit in that acid for more than that, it's going to actually make the break down the proteins in the meat and the meat is going to get mealy, which is gross. But like that is one of our favorites. Like it's a quick Greek chicken. 20 minutes, then it, you know, they're cutlets, so they fry up in just a few minutes. And I'll serve that with like couscous or rice or a big Greek salad, egg noodles. Like there's just a million ways that I can serve that. And sheet pan. So I have a recipe. I mentioned the caprese sheet pan chicken, but lately my kids have wanted sheet pan chicken parmesan,
which is very similar. But instead of cherry tomatoes, whole cherry tomatoes, which Oliver's like, I don't like those cooked, it's tomato sauce. Instead of beautiful fresh mozzarella, they want like a combination of fresh and then like a whole mound of
part skim, low moisture mozzarella.
There you go, baby.
Pizza cheese.
Pizza cheese. So we do a lot of sheet pan chicken parm too. Sometimes with breading, sometimes with not, depending on how much time I have or what I've been able to prep.
Wait, I'm going to put that on my meal plan for next week. Sounds so good.
So good.
Before we sign off, we would love to invite you to our Didn't I Just Feed You listeners boards. Free members get direct access to us as well as our hive mind of busy home cooks. Plus, you get access to our recipe archive, get some of our shopping guides and helpful checklists.
And if you feel like supporting Didn't I Just Feed You, we'll love you forever. Our supporting community is one of the best ways that you can financially support these free public episodes. And when you join, you get access to an ad-free stream of every single episode of Didn't I Just Feed You, in addition to two bonus episodes every single month, and then some other goodies like live Q&A sessions where you can go in there and we will troubleshoot live and on the spot, whatever
like
you
Carolyn.
Need us to. Like Carolyn, exactly. So find out more about becoming a member of our supporting community at didntijustfeedyou.com/community. And don't forget, use that code JUICY for 25% off on either the monthly or the annual payments through the end of March.
Don't forget to follow us on Instagram, where we are at Didn't I Just Feed You. A huge thank you to our producer, Samantha Gatzik. I'm Megan.
And I'm Stacy. Stay sane and well-fed until next time.
Be sure to subscribe to Didn't I Just Feed You wherever you're listening. And don't forget to rate and review.